Okay, can everybody hear me okay?
Yeah, okay.
Well, I think we've heard from the Lord already, so we can go home. In fact, if there's another prophecy, please do. Bruce, you have something you want to share? No? Okay. Okay. Prophetic word is an important thing in the body of Christ. A lot of times we can know the word, but it's that prophetic voice that gives it a spark. It's like a spark of electricity. I said, wow, there's something out there you need to think about and pray about. And we have dedicated the few weeks that we've had during this season for prayer and fasting, haven't we? And fasting can take many forms. It can be a food group, or a meal, or just something. It could even be things that you fast. But a fast declares something to you, and to God, and to the world. It's like multifaceted in that sense. I'm going to be reading from Isaiah 58. It's really called a fast that's called by God. It's not a fast called by men or a priest or anyone else, but it's a fasting that pleases God. Wouldn't you like to be a part of that fast? Yeah. Well, me too. Let's just do that. You know, I was watching many things on YouTube as far as the news is concerned, and Mike Johnson, who is a Speaker of the House, came on. He says, this is a sad day for the West. I said, what could he be talking about? The fact that I didn't know was embarrassing, because the UK passed a law that under their jurisdiction, it's all right to kill somebody who is dying, assisted suicide. And it is a sad day, even though there are many states in the world and even places in the United States that it can be done. It is not a declaration of these United States in total that this is something we're looking forward to. And he said, you know, it's always been in medicine, the Hippocratic Oath says that you should now cause no harm. So those poor doctors have already broken an oath, their own oath. A covenant they have made. And it's sad. And he stood there as a Speaker of the House. And he says, this is a sad day. But we, the people, have declared, even in our Constitution and our Declaration, have declared that we're something more. We have certain inalienable rights. You can't take them away. Even if everybody voted for you to die, it wouldn't be legal in our country. Some countries it would be, but not in ours. Isn't that nice? I'm glad we have a Speaker of the House like that. A born-again brother who's willing to say, this is a sad day. Well, it may be a sad day for many in this world. In fact, Franklin Graham said just recently, too, he said, we need to pray this as well. And so everybody's thinking, what did Franklin Graham say? He said, well, Assyria just went down. And who took them over? It was an Islamic group. And it was, even though Assad was a cruel dictator, he was still protecting Christians in his land under his government. And now they have no protection. So Franklin's saying, we need to pray for that too. Already the burden's getting heavy. The burden of praying, and as Joni came up and prayed and encouraged us to pray for the lost, the burden can be very, very heavy. But in Jesus, it is not heavy. It's something we give over to him. It's first his burden for the Christians in Syria. It is first his burdens for those who don't want to die in the United Kingdom. Whatever happens to this world, we are in the kingdom of God. And under his government. And that government shall never fail. People may fail, but the Lord will not. So let's start with the first verse. Joni cried, and some others, I think, shared this too. Cry aloud. Spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Okay, let's hear it. Come on! And what are they doing? What are we doing? We're going to do this. We're going to tell my people their transgression. So if you've been sitting around doing nothing, your transgression is, you should be at least raising your voice up like a trumpet. The prophets should speak. And if they are disobedient to the Lord, God help them. And God help us. Speak out, O prophets, the ones who pray, the ones who come up to and give us encouragement. Speak up. Don't let the enemy come and find you asleep. The Lord told me this morning, he says, the enemy's coming to your house, but by the time he gets there, he won't even remember your address. Yeah, Lord, please make that happen. Too often he finds our address very well. But there's a time coming and a season coming for this body and others. They're going to step into that, and we're going to say, that's not us. We are the people of God.
Yes.
And it says, tell them their transgressions, the house of Jacob, their sins. Now, the first thing we do in a fast is remember things of what God is doing in our life. So often we're on a path of things that we do normally, like we come to church on Sunday. We may go to prayer and praise on Friday. We go to home group on Wednesday or Thursday. We go to work. We get up, go to sleep, and we encourage whatever. But we're not really shaken up to the point that we can find something. Maybe God is doing something else in our life. Maybe God wants us to do something else besides what we're doing right now. And that's what this fast is about. Verse 3, why have we fasted, you say? And you have not seen. So we're fasting because we don't know that if we don't know what God's will is, then we need to know it. Oh, Lord Jesus, we need to know your will, not just what we do every day, but your will. Maybe there's something we can do. And to encourage our children, to encourage those that we know and love. Some may actually go to Assyria. To Syria, not Assyria, Syria. Some may go to Ukraine. Some may go to Poland. Some may go to Russia. Some may go to all parts of the world. You know, all parts of the world are confused. Did you get that picture? I mean, North Korean soldiers are fighting on the Russian side. It's like laughable. Come on, these people are, you know, everything being said about North Korea, they go to Russia, even in the war zone, they're probably better off. Wow. Russia doesn't have the forces or the, you know, their kids. When you send off kids, people to war, it's their children you're sending off to war. They don't have the kids to spare anymore. They can't send them off to Syria or to Iran or any place. So if you're a Russian ally, oh well. So the world is running out of their most valuable resource, their children. Why is that happening? Well, because they're killing them off before they're born. One Democrat said during the lecture, the campaign, he said, the reason, I think it was Obama, said, the reason that we need to have immigration now uncontrolled is because we don't have our children. They're gone. He didn't say abortion, but he should have. We killed them. So we'll have to take somebody else's. Wow. Maybe we'll go back to verse 2 and start shouting. Right? And verse 1, let it happen. But here in verse 2 it says, yet they seek me daily. There's a certain part of a fast that reminds us, this isn't about just a season of knowing the will of God. We need to daily seek his ways and purposes. That's why Jesus said to us, listen, pray this way, thy will be done. And delight to know my ways. Delight to know my ways, not just know my ways. As a nation that did righteousness, oh, that's what we were supposed to be doing, and did not forsake the ordinance of God. They ask of me the ordinance of justice, and they take delight in the approaching of God. There are many nations that one might know the approaching of God and say, we don't want him. Because we know judgment is in his hand. Verse 3, why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen? Fast for nothing? Why have we afflicted our souls, and you take no notice? Now there is a fast that's worth nothing. But our fast is not like that today. God is calling us. He's clearly calling us as a body of believers to this fast, this place where we can know and understand the will of God, not just in our personal lives, but in the world stage. Do we need another plague? Do we need another war? What's going on? In fact, in that day, your fast, you will find pleasure and exploit all your labors. Wow. There's going to be a place when we deny ourselves of our daily foods and things that we think we need, and we're going to have pleasure in that because we'll know they're going to seek God. Verse 4. Indeed, you fast for strife and debate, and you strike with a fist of wickedness. You will not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high. So there's different fasts, and some of them are totally wrong, like this one. If you're fasting for strife and debate, we need to have more trouble. You know what? You may think I'm crazy, but I still pray for world peace. And God has called peace on the earth before, so I know he can do it, even amongst men. Verse 5. It is a fast that I have chosen. I underline that one. I didn't choose it. He's talking to himself. Jesus, this is a fast I have chosen. A day for a man to afflict his soul. In other words, something in you is going to break. Say, it's not about me. It's about what God has for me to do. Maybe you haven't prayed in a while. Not really prayed to the Lord Jesus. Maybe you haven't had a come to Jesus meeting, you know, just you and him in a long time. Well, you need to do it. You need to wake up. Sound the trumpet. Let's start praying. Let's come to Jesus. Find out what he wants to do in your life. It's going to be different. You know, when I see the teenagers come to the Lord, they're not sitting down waiting for God to do something. They're up on the edge of their seats saying, it's a time for me to say something? Is it time for me to get up? Is it time for me to prophesy? What do you want me to do? And many of them just cry. It is a bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread out his sackcloth and ashes. Would you call this a fast? An acceptable day to the Lord. There's preparation that needs to be done in your life. You don't just do it before you go to work and say, I've done my duty. I've fasted. That's not what this fast is about at all. But there's a preparation. You put down a cloth, you're going to be there a while. Oh, Lord, do that work in us, that we would be your people, not just a people, but your people. Verse 6. Is not this a fast which I have chosen? Now listen to this. This is really good because this brings in and ushers in the whole presence of our Lord Jesus Christ and what Joni was encouraging us to do for those who are lost today. It says, what is it for? To loose the bonds of wickedness. Well, let's do that. Let's pray for that. Undo the heavy burdens, the ones that people can't carry anymore. I don't know why they murdered the CEO of healthcare system. It's like crazy. But I'm sure this guy was under a heavy burden to kill another person for seemingly no reason. In fact, I told my primary care as we were talking together on Wednesday, I said to her, you know, I'm really glad that I'm no longer the administrative director of managed care for the VA anymore. I might be the next target. She said, yeah, you might have been. To undo the heavy burdens. Undo them, Lord Jesus. Take it those, and let's listen to this. Let the oppressed go free. They've been oppressed too long. Who's the oppressor? It's not the Lord Jesus. It's not the Lord God. It's the enemy. That you could break every yoke, not just a few. Let's really have a tearing apart of the schemes and the works of the enemy. Tear them apart. Let's go for his throat. He doesn't deserve what he's getting. By the time he gets to your address, he won't even remember where you live. Verse 7. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry? Isn't that what he was encouraging us prophetically? They bring to your house the poor who are cast out. When you see the naked, you cover them. You don't say, does anybody know where there's a doctor? You do it. And not hide yourself from your own flesh. Because you have mortality, and you better know it. Verse 8. Then your light shall break forth like the morning. Whoa. He's prophesying to you something you're not ready for. You're not prepared for. And he's saying to you in these passages, get ready, prepare yourself, it's going to happen. Your light shall break forth like the morning. It's not just talking about the Lord. He's talking about those who are fasting. Your healing shall spring forth speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. And the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Oh, wow. You're invincible. Well, you are in the Lord. What are you going through? Oh, the enemy is really taking me apart. You know, I've been symptom-free from Guillain-Barré for a while, and then suddenly, Wednesday, I could hardly walk. I know the enemy's work really well, because this disease is really nasty, and I can remember it really well. So I went on to my site on Facebook called the Guillain-Barré Survivors Group, and I just said, I thought I was done with this. That's all I said. Dot, dot, dot. And I got such a response of people who had been through this, are going through, and have been through the same things. And I got a word back from the administrator of the group saying, I just want you to know, you went from like 1,000 to 10,000 likes. And it's like incredible the number of people are getting life from you because you're being honest. Isn't that what he just said the few verses before that? Be aware of your own mortality. And God is calling us to another place. He's not calling us to stay there because my symptoms are gone today. Does that surprise you? You know what it means for God to use you? That's what it means. You're sick. You can't possibly do anything for God or to yourself or anything else. And God says, well, it's too bad, but I'm using you today. And he makes you feel a lot better. In fact, stronger than you've ever been, and you go out and do what God wants you to do, and the next day you're sick again. Do you feel used? Well, God can do that. Verse 9. This is what he's prophesying to you. Then you shall call. How many people are calling? How many even calling anymore? Maybe you haven't called upon the Lord really, sincerely, in a long time for that lost relative, the one that doesn't seem to have any hope. Where there is no hope, that's where you're going to find it. And the Lord will answer, and you shall cry. And he will say, here I am. By the way, that was probably the first thing that the Lord said in the creation of the universe. Here I am. And the darkness didn't understand what he was saying. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of finger and the speaking of witness. Because you see, there's mixture in us. Not just the world, but there's mixture in us. And saying, well, I think that if you want to die, you should have the right to die comfortably. Well, that's not what the scripture says. It's not what Jesus is saying. I remember once when I was talking to a counselor online, I think it's the Samaritan something, but it's a psychology group where there are psychiatrists on there who will listen to you if you're planning to commit suicide. They want to hear your story. And they pray for you, and they pray about you specifically. And so I got on that site. It was a time of real depression many years ago. And the difference between those who think about suicide and those that are really in trouble, those who are really in trouble have already thought about a way to commit suicide. So after this person talked to me, I don't know, he or she, says, well, I can see you've helped a lot of people in your life. How do you feel about murder? I didn't say anything about murder. Well, how do you feel about taking an innocent life? So they were able to like read through everything I was giving them and come back with a truth from the scripture and say, well, wait a second, mister. Who do you think you are? Who made you, yourself, that you can take charge of your life? No. So you take away the yoke in your midst, the pointing of finger, the speaking of wickedness, even to yourself. Take it away. It doesn't belong to you. That was the last conversation I had with that person. So I don't know if they felt good about what they said to me or not, but the Lord did. Verse 10. If you extend your soul to the hungry, you're just not going to give them stuff. Extend your soul, your very being, you extend to another person. And I have counseled many, not just a few, many who have contemplated suicide, and a few who actually had plans to do it, and one who actually did. So I know what it means. And when that person took his life, it affected me forever. See, those who commit suicide don't understand that it doesn't affect just you. It affects your whole family and those who love you all around you. It changes the nature of life itself. But here in verse 10, it says, then your light shall dawn in the darkness. At this point, you might think it's hopeless. Everybody's pointing their fingers. I can't myself change the hatred that's even in the body of Christ between fellowships. I can't change that, but you can. Your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. Well, there's no darkness in the noonday, people. When the sun's shining at 12 o'clock, it's really bright. And here comes the real promises of this fast. So we've been fasting for a few days now, and weeks, but here's the promises he's going to give to us as a reward for what we're doing. The Lord will guide you continually. Oh, the Lord will guide you continually, not just once in a while. He will satisfy your soul in a time of need and drought. He'll strengthen your bones. Your bones is what supports your flesh. The very thing that defines who you are, your bones, which produces blood for your body, your bones will be strengthened. You shall be like a watered garden. I've seen a lot of gardens, and most of them need help. But when they're well watered and taken care of, oh, they look good. And like a spring of water, those waters do not fail. Aren't you glad? He's talking about you now. He's not talking about you if you want this. He's talking about you who participated in his fast. Verse 12. Those among you shall I love this verse. In fact, this verse I have written in the front of my Bible. There are going to be those among you, not everyone, who shall raise up, who will build up the old waste places, the sewers, places of people say, this is terrible, it's not worth anything. Well, there are going to be a few of us that say, no, I think it's still worth something in God. There's something here in that person that needs to be rescued. There's something here in this fellowship that needs to be rescued. Not just me standing here, not me just worshiping, but there's something I can do. Building up means you're partaking in it. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. And there have been generations after generations in this church. Well, you got a new name. It's right here. You should be called the repairer of the breach. Say that to yourself. You're going to be called the repairer of the breach. Shout it. You are the preparer of the breach. Come on, let's hear it. You are the preparer of the breach. Whoa. The restorer of the streets to dwell in. You're afraid? I'm afraid to go down New York City anymore. I used to go down there. I wouldn't dare. But you know what? God is raising up people in New York City to be restorers of the streets that you can dwell in. I don't think you're very convincing by that response. But I can tell you, some people are saying, whoa, what's going on? There's a new sheriff in town. His name is Trump. And when he's walking the sidewalks, I don't think he has to worry too much anymore. God has already protected him in the midst of his campaign a couple of times, maybe more. So what's your mission? Verse 13. I'm almost done. It says, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day. So what is he saying? Every day, the Sabbath is like a fast. You don't do the things you want. You do what I want. And call the Sabbath a delight. It's not punishment for you to come to church. It's not punishment for you to sing praise. It's not punishment for you to pray and to sing praises to the Lord. Oh, may it never be. If in nothing else, Fountain of Life has taught us that this praise thing that we're doing is awesome to our soul. It's breaking away the chains. The holy day of the Lord, honorable. It's worthy of honor. We're not going to be dressing down or dressing up, matter of fact, but it's honorable. It shall honor him, not doing your own ways. It's going to honor him, not doing your own stuff. Not finding your own pleasure. I remember going to church at 7:30 in the morning so I could be done by 8, so I could hit the slopes by 8:30 and go skiing every Sunday. I can remember doing that. And, you know, they made that service special for me and those who wanted to be at the slopes. Well, you know why? You think about what they were doing. They get money. Not only the church, but they also get the money at the slopes. Nor finding your own pleasure. Nor speaking, oh, here's a good one. Nor speaking your own words. See, I'm not free to speak my own words. There might be other things I want to speak this morning, but I'm not free to speak them. I seek the Lord. And Cheryl was lecturing the children, for lack of a better word, on the way to church this morning. I said, honey, can you stop for a while? I'm trying to ready my mind for this sermon today because I want the words to be the Lord's words, not my words. And take my words and scramble them wherever you want, but I want your word to go forth. And his word is, this is a day and the hour of his fast, to be among us. And his blessing because of that fast to go out into our midst. And he will delight in us. In verse 14, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord. And I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth. We sing that song. He's coming on a white horse. And every time I sing that song, I don't even want to be on a white horse. Did you ever ride a horse bareback? I don't think I'd want to be there. But if the Lord's grabbing my hand, I think that's assurance that you're not going to fall off. Right? It's a different white horse. And I will cause you to ride in the high hills of the earth. So that's a reference to that song. And feed you with a heritage of what is owed Jacob, your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Oh, he doesn't use that. Prophets don't use that word willy-nilly. When they say the mouth of the Lord has spoken, you better believe the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Yeah? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Lord, I thank you for the promises in this text. I encourage you to go back and read it. So that's Isaiah 58, chapter 58, the whole chapter. And it's not taken apart in detail, but I could say a lot more things about it. I wish I had time. But it's like, it will change your life. He's speaking into your life power. He's speaking into your life and all those around you power, not just to make you better, but to make this world a better place, to make it a habitation, not for the next king or prince, but a habitation for the Lord Jesus, that his bride would awaken in this hour like we have never seen her before. She will put on the garments of beauty, and she will throw off the ugly garments of sin and the nature of man. Say, these aren't my garments. They never were. Right. And I pray for the weak among us, Lord. Often I forget to pray for the weak. And there are those who would like to do this but just can't, unable to do so. And I pray for the weak that their words would be echoed down through the earth, right down to the gates of hell. When Joni speaks, she can barely talk. In a straight voice, her husband brings her up here to strengthen her in the spirit. And when she speaks, those words are just shallow words, but they are ones that break the bonds of the enemy in places we haven't seen yet. We don't even know about yet. They're going out. So, Father, I ask you, Lord, for a spirit of prayer and supplication to be upon us, that we would pray, continue to pray, because we're committed for this fast until the 20th of January. We're committed to this fast for a while. We're going to be praying. And we expect the enemy to be more and more confused. And we expect our minds to be clear and to be ready. In Jesus' name, amen.